I'm talking with Professor Amos Giora. He teaches law at the Quinney College of Law at the University of Utah. He's also a retired IDF lieutenant colonel who held various legal advisor positions in the IDF, including the legal advisor to the commander of Israel's forces in the Gaza Strip, and he was also the commander of the IDF School of Military Law. I'm referring to your resume, Amos, because you are in an excellent position to comment on a host of questions and confused remarks that have been made in recent days regarding the IDF's legal and moral norms as they play out on the streets of Gaza. Let me ask you first, are you comfortable with what you've seen so far in Gaza?
My take on this is that the IDF is balancing what I would call aggressive operational decision-making, balanced with the understanding that it's critical to protect innocent life. There's an important but here. I think that when Defense Minister Barak announced 2 weeks ago, or 10 days ago, that this is war against Hamas, I think he chose the word carefully. You know, in the past, we've struggled with how to define various terms, and so the Israeli Supreme Court, in a number of cases, used the term armed conflict short of war. We've used other terms like low-intensity conflict. This is different. Now, it's not quite war because, according to international law, war can only be between states. And Hamas is not yet a state. Hamas is almost a state. So this is almost war. And in difference between war and armed conflict, the semantics are important. But what is absolutely critical to recall at all times is, again, the responsibility to honor the obligations of international law. I don't know what rules of engagement the soldiers were given, but it is clear in terms of the use of force, again, planes, tanks, helicopters, artillery, that this has been a very different operational engagement than the IDF has used in the past in the Gaza Strip. This is different.
It is different in the sense that this is not a policing operation. It is not a counterterrorism operation limited in scope. It is something that is closer to war.
I think that's exactly right. This is not what I would argue is traditional operational counterterrorism. It's not quite war. It's somewhere in the middle, but I would say it's closer to war than it is to operational counterterrorism. I mean, the scope of the engagement is significantly different, and that must be understood in the context of the four stated missions of the IDF here. You know, to the destroying of the tunnels, preventing Hamas to create or develop additional Qassam missiles in the Gaza Strip, to prevent the storage of the missiles, and fourthly, to prevent the further shooting of Qassam missiles from Gaza into Israel. To achieve all four requires something different than operational counterterrorism.
Let me ask you to address the question of proportionality. How does one measure it? Is the IDF's military campaign in Gaza proportionate, and is this at all a question that concerns the IDF as you know it?
Ori, I would begin working my way backwards. It is an issue that, from the perspective of IDF junior and senior commanders alike, very much at the heart of the issue. Because if you're going to be a force that conducts itself in accordance with international law and also in accordance with what I call morality in armed conflict, then proportionality is very much the essence of the discussion. When we use the term proportionality, I suggest that we re-articulate the paradigm. It's clear that the IDF has quantifiably and qualitatively different weapons than Hamas does. The IDF has planes, helicopters, tanks. Hamas has the Qassam missiles. So there's inherently disproportionate force available. The question then in the context of proportionality is, are you using the force available to you proportionately? And I would suggest that in the context of the aerial war, the aerial strikes of the first week, and the ground incursion of the past week, that I think what the IDF is clearly trying to do is meet a four-part operational goal, which we'll talk about also in a few seconds. But are they conducting themselves proportionally? Are they using the force of their availability proportionately? I would suggest the answer is clearly yes. One of the tragic realities of fighting, and I think what is uniformly understood to be the world's most densely populated area, is that innocent civilians will die. That's a tragic reality. Two thoughts on that. One is international law requires the military force to minimize collateral damage. Nowhere does it say no collateral damage, and also nowhere is the word minimize defined. So we have to minimize collateral damage. There's a flip side to that. I would suggest that what Hamas is clearly doing is surrounding themselves with human shields, and in some cases, individuals are surrounding themselves around Hamas fighters, and those people are voluntary human shields. Voluntary human shields, while not perhaps full combatants, they're also not innocent civilians. I would suggest that as we go forward in terms of rearticulating international law, that we need to rethink what's the status of voluntary human shields, and are they legitimate targets? I would suggest in many instances they are.
So what happens when you have a situation such as we had with the UNRWA school in Jabalia, where the IDF apparently does know that there are civilians, many of them, in that school, even if it does see people shooting from the schoolyard? What kind of orders do the soldiers have for response in such a situation?
First of all, in the traditional understanding of international law, schools, mosques, as an example, are protected property, meaning that they are not legitimate targets. But they both lose their protected status, or maybe you want to use the term their immunity, if they are used for purposes other than what they are intended for. So if there's firing coming out of a school, or there's firing coming out of a hospital, or if there's firing coming out of a mosque, or if a mosque is used as an ammunition depot, then those buildings lose their status and become legitimate targets. Then once you define something as a legitimate target, then you have to ask yourself, okay, how do I then go forward, and how do I, on the one hand, operationally engage those who are endangering me, and two, how do I do so in the context of proportionality? The IDF has said, since this occurred, that there was firing clearly coming from the UNRWA school. If that's the case, then the UNRWA school loses its protected status and becomes a legitimate target. The follow-up question, obviously, is, okay, let's say it loses its protected status. Is the danger to IDF forces from that particular area significant enough to justify the kind of fire that was used in terms of, you know, firepower? That depends on the circumstances and the discretion of the commander, who is fully steeped both in international law requirements and also the morality in armed conflict, also well understanding that he also has responsibility for what I call force protection. He has to protect his forces. He also has operational goals. I mean, the equation is extraordinarily complicated, but I think it's important to take note of the, if you will, of the balancing or the tension here.